What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Another good one for you today as we look forward to Game 2 against the Houston Rockets and officiating. Lots of it coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. If you are looking for Locked On Warriors or any of the other shows from the Locked On Podcast Network, you can now get them all on the new podcasting app Himalaya. Himalaya gives you personally curated playlists for you and is adding top-of-the-line new features every single day. Go check out the new podcasting app Himalaya. You can also get us on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Go ahead and click that subscribe button, maybe rate and review if you feel like it as well. Locked On Network not only has NBA, they got MLB, NFL, college. They got everything you want, so be sure to check out everything the Locked On Podcast Network has to offer. The Dubs taking on the Houston Rockets in Game 2 of Round 2 of the Western Conference playoffs tonight. And it is honestly, the Rockets have ruined this series for me. I'm more excited about Blazers, Nuggets than I am about Rockets, Warriors, because Rockets, Warriors is now about the officiating. It's not about who's on the floor, who's playing. It's not about the fact that the Rockets miss 33 threes and play a style of basketball that doesn't really lend itself to winning in the playoffs. The fact that they can't adjust to how a game's being called or how they're being defended. The fact that they have had been the beneficiary of officiating more than anyone over the last 5 years since they ever got James Harden. Yet they're going to complain about officiating. They're going to say they're the ones treated unfairly. They even went and did a deep dive auditing all their games against the Warriors. It's pathetic. And I was pretty confident about my Warriors in five pick before the series. And now after this, I couldn't be any more confident in it. The Warriors own, what is the equivalent of all the headspace? I know the term is they own headspace of someone. They own all of it. They are straight up in there going Rick James on Eddie Murphy's couch.
Your couch. Buy another one, you rich motherfucker. Your couch.
The Warriors absolutely own the headspace of Daryl Morey and the Houston Rockets. I hate the fact that officiating has become such a topic around this game, this series, and I think it's going to continue, and it's going to make the series pretty unenjoyable. But we'll see. We'll see how the game is officiated. We'll see how the game goes. I mean, these are things to look for moving forward in Game 2. And the real question is, who changes? Do the Warriors adapt to how they think the officials might react? Do the officials actually react to what D'Antoni and everyone on the Rockets is saying? That's one of the things to watch for this game, obviously. Some of the other ones, Steph, how does he play? Obviously, not his greatest game in Game 1. Can he stay out of foul trouble? That's the biggest thing. And especially with the officials probably having a little tighter whistle this game, he's got to be careful. He's got to be real careful. Klay also didn't have the best game. And you guys can say it's about the ankles. That's fine. I'm not going to make excuses for him. Bottom line is they're playing, so they need to play better. I believe Steve Kerr will continue to start Andre Iguodala, as he should. Does D'Antoni make any changes to his starting lineup? The big problem with that is the Rockets don't have an Andre Iguodala that they can bring in. I mean, are you going to start Shumpert or Austin Rivers? I mean, you can definitely move P.J. Tucker to the five, but the question is who then takes the fifth starting spot? So he might, but I wouldn't feel super comfortable starting any of those guys either. So I don't know if he has a card to play. I mean, knowing him, he'll probably start in an A. Because for some reason, Nene was in the game during crunch time. So we'll have to wait and see what happens I hate that officiating is such a topic, but it is. They made it a topic. I would so much rather talk about the fact that apparently Mike D'Antoni and this system doesn't really seem fit for winning in the playoffs. And another Mike D'Antoni blunder. And the fact that Steph can't stay out of foul trouble. I'd much rather talk about all the stuff about the game. But again, here we are talking about officiating. And Steph and Steve Kerr actually talked about it today as well. Here are some of the things they had to say. I'm going to start with Steve Kerr.
You guys are going to ask about all that? I thought we were going to just talk about the game.
What do you think about the noise coming out of Houston's camp?
It's disappointing because the focus should be on two teams who played extremely hard. I mean, watching the tape, you know, both teams just got after it and competed. But, you know, we just watched the tape upstairs. You don't think there were 10 calls that we thought we got fouled? I mean, this is how it goes. And every coach in the league will tell you the same thing. You watch the tape and you go, man, that's a foul, that's a foul. It's the nature of the game. It's very, very difficult to officiate an NBA game. There's all kinds of gray area. And, you know, in the modern game, you know, a lot of players have gotten really good at deception, creating contact. And, you know, I don't remember people falling down on three-point shots, you know, all the time when I played. It was a different rule, you know. Once you release the ball, you were allowed to make contact. There was no foul. But the game has gotten – there's so much deception as part of it, as part of the game, that it's very, very difficult to officiate. But every coach in the league will tell you, you watch the tape afterwards and you think, man, we got screwed. The reality is you get some, you lose some. The refs do the best job they can, and then you move on to the next game. And so I'm disappointed that this has become the whole narrative when it really should be about two great teams competing against each other.
There's Steve on the entire situation, which does suck. I hate that this is the topic. I agree with Steve completely. Officiating is incredibly hard. It's never going to be an exact science. It's like a strike zone to me in baseball. Do you see how the ump's calling it? If he's calling it tight, you might take more pitches. If he's got a bigger strike zone, you better get up there and swing. Like, you're going to have to adjust game to game. And so even if there were missed calls, like, that's how it goes. And there's plenty of missed calls on both sides. And the idea that a foul call or missed foul call midway through the second quarter is less important than one, you know, at the end of the fourth is ridiculous to me. One thing that Steve did in the press conference that doesn't really come through audio is walking up to the scrum press conference, whatever. He bumped reporter Ann Killian and flopped super hard. So exaggerated contact. So that was pretty funny. Steve always making light of situations. And yeah, I'm on a first name basis. Steve, call him Steve, no big deal. Steph, call him Steph too, is also asked about the entire situation. He shared a similar sentiment. Here's what Steph had to say.
I mean, I don't know what to say about it. It's not surprising in terms of how the game unfolded and what you want the narrative to be. For us, if we really wanted to exhaust our energy on that, we could clip together 10 to 15 plays where it didn't go our way. Me taking three, somebody coming underneath me, two hands on drives, like all that type of stuff. But we understand in the playoffs, the way the game is called, it's a little bit more physical. And whether you're trying to, you know, get fouls on every possession or not, like, it's going to be 50-50 calls and just how it is. But it sucks that that is the narrative coming out of it, because we literally could exhaust our energy on that as well. So what are you going to do about it? Hopefully game two, it's about the game and how we play and making shots and the energy and the intensity that we need to play with, and knowing what's at stake, and that we that becomes a conversation for sure.
So there's Steph on the situation of officiating and what's the narrative now, and he shares a similar sentiment to Steve Kerr on just, I wish it was about the basketball. Wish the Rockets didn't, you know, have a burn book about how many fouls they've missed or something. And the fact that, look, it goes both ways, man, that they have missed calls on their side too. Like, Let's play basketball and worry about that. But anyways, Steph Curry is also asked about whether there's too much complaining from the players, just in general, as far as playoffs are concerned and just basketball is concerned. Here's what Steph had to say.
It's a scale of 1 to 10. It's probably a good 8. 9, something like that. But, again, like that's because it matters. Like, if nobody was out there complaining, then I'm sure fans would just be like, yo, what's going on? Like, do these guys even care about what's happening or whatever? There's a fine line between that competitive fire and feeling like, you know, everything should go your way and you have a reaction to a call, and then you'll be able to move on to the next possession. To me, it's honestly exhausting, like, talking to the refs every possession. So I try to stay in my lane and understand that I do foul sometimes, and sometimes there are bad calls. It's just part of the game. Keep it moving.
There's Steph on the, I don't know, complaining, how much complaining there is, whether it's too much, etc. I do like what he said, though. If no one's complaining, it, you know, this is the playoffs, man. High stakes. There's reasons why people care so much. One of my favorite parts of the entire thing was Marcus Thompson of The Athletic asked Steph if he gets a fair chance. Because if you don't know, James Harden last night came out and said, or 2 nights ago came out and said, I just want a fair chance. Just call the game the right way and just give me a fair chance. Because James Harden, as we all know, can't get a fair shake from NBA officials. Marcus Thompson asked Steph if he gets a fair chance, and Steph's response was?
Next question.
In my opinion, a perfect response from Steph taking a dig at James Harden because the fair chance thing is absolutely ridiculous, and taking a dig at Russell Westbrook for being a jerk to the media. Shout out, Steph. Good work. As far as tonight's game goes, more of the same, man. I hope that the officiating conversation hasn't gotten to the officials, but we'll just have to wait and see. Going to take a quick break, come back. I'm going to play a segment from something I did a little earlier for you, covering more of just the ridiculous situation in this series. That will be coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Just went over tonight's game a little bit, but not too much, because like I said, the story is the officiating. Sadly so, but it is. Yesterday, I filled in on the midday show up here on the Lowdown with my man Damian Barling. You can also catch me noon to 4 today, and same thing tomorrow as well on 1140, KHTK 1140. We do sports. Check it out. But we talked about this, the entire situation. One of the reports came out during our show, and we covered it pretty well and had some good laughs about it because of how ridiculous it is. I'm going to play that segment for you right now, and then I'm going to come back and put some finishing touches on this thing. So here is a segment from Damian Barling and myself.
Curry working on the net. Crossover dribble. Fades into a three. Got it! Curry!
That settles it. About that.
I've been Steph Curry with the shot, been cooking with the sauce, Chef Curry.
If you're watching
on
the live stream on YouTube or on KHDK.com, I absolutely get a kick out of Kevin Durant in that play.
Same.
Just waving everybody like, they've got a problem here. You guys might just everybody clear out of the way, because there's no way Steph is not scoring on Nene.
Wait, is Nene still on the floor?
I believe so.
What?
Like, I believe so.
No, I'm with you, man. That's the best part. He's waving him off. Steph wasn't having a good game. Obviously, KD was. He said, nah, he's got this.
Everybody move.
Yeah, get out of his way.
Isn't that the equivalent of when you're playing baseball as a kid and then everyone goes, all right, move up, everybody. He can't hit anything.
Yes.
Move up.
That's it. That is 100% it. That's a great call right there. Yes, that's exactly what it is. Boy, that's not his fault. That's D'Antoni's fault.
That's D'Antoni's fault.
I don't know. How did that happen? Like, we just had that short clip right there. How did Nene wind up on Steph Curry in that moment in the fourth quarter?
I mean, Van Gundy said it on the broadcast. He said, if Nene's still out there, you're putting him in the pick and roll immediately. Whether it's Steph or KD, you're going at Nene. He put him in there for rebounding. I don't know if he thought the Warriors would take a timeout. But you got to do something, man. Nene cannot be out there for that situation.
Dude. Mike, play of the day, by the way, that was the our buddy Tim Roy, the Golden State Warriors Radio Network play of the day, brought to you by your local GEICO agent, Vince Harris. Give him a call now at 916-923-5050. That's 916-923-5050. Mike D'Antoni has a reputation, man. He can't shake it. Like, he just doesn't do well when the playoffs get here.
Yeah.
And I'm not in the camp that Chris Paul stays healthy. The Rockets win game seven.
Yeah.
I love Chris Paul, one of my favorite players on the planet. I'm not of that mindset, simply because I haven't seen the Warriors lose in that situation.
Yeah.
Not to the Rockets. I saw them losing to Cleveland.
Yeah.
I didn't see them losing to the Rockets in that situation.
Well, here's the thing. I have a different take on this series than most do. I think the Warriors – my prediction is Warriors in five, honestly.
Okay.
But I do think the Rockets are good enough to take advantage of the Warriors when they play poorly. That's what happened in 2016. There were some factors that the Cavs were able to take advantage of. Last night reminded me of last year, game one of the NBA Finals, or whatever, yesterday afternoon, whatever the game was, where neither team really played that great, except, well, you could say in game one, LeBron played incredible because he did. But whichever team came away wasn't going to be feeling great. Neither team played well. The Warriors had 20 turnovers last night, which, by the way, if they're complaining about officiating, I'd say don't turn the ball over. Steph, don't take bad shots. Like, the officiating has nothing to do with it. Last night reminded me of the 2018 game one of the finals because the Warriors kind of stole one. They were able to get out of there without playing their best. The Rockets didn't play their best. They weren't able to take it. I mean, that's just how it goes.
Sorry, man. You're talking. I heard every word you said. I just got distracted by this headline. I had seen Sam tweet something up earlier about The Athletic looking at there was apparently a big audit of Game 7 last year. Well, ESPN, Zach Lowe and Rachel Nichols just published an article that said, and I'm just going to read the first paragraph to you, the Houston Rockets believe officiating in last season's Western Conference Final cost them an NBA championship. hold on. And in a report since sent to the league, tabulated the net result of 81 potential missed calls and non-calls in Game 7 of that series between Houston and Golden State. The accompanying memo says, referees likely change the eventual NBA champion. One, that's a massive F you to Cleveland Cavaliers and LeBron James. Two, wow.
Yeah.
Let it go, dude.
Yeah. No, it's on The Athletic. I suggest everyone go check it out. Sam does an amazing job with this. But this is a terrible, terrible look for the Rockets, in my opinion, man. Like, they're tabulating missed calls as if, okay, so we're also looking at it as they got everything right against the Warriors. Everything that, you know, was called against the Warriors was perfect. They only missed ours and cost us a million points. They got to let it go. They got to move on.
Unbelievable.
These are bad looks on their part, man.
This NBA spokesperson said, I feel like we've heard the name Mike Bass too many times in the last few weeks. As we told the Rockets, we do not agree with their methodology.
That's such a great response.
I know Daryl Morey said this. Dude, but how in their head are they? Like, how in the head of the Houston Rockets are the Golden State Warriors? You called for a full audit of a bet. What were you bracing for the rematch?
Yeah.
Like, hey, we know we're going to play them again next year. It's almost like, who's, was it Jack? I feel like Jack Del Rio in his last year with the Oakland Raiders used the line very early in the season after the Raiders had accumulated penalty after penalty after penalty. I feel like Jack Del Rio used the line, they're going to have to learn how to officiate us. Spoiler alert, they didn't.
They did not.
And second, is that what this was? Was this a note to the NBA officials like, hey, you've got to learn how to officiate us? Because did they audit any other game to say, hey, you missed 81 calls here in our game, but you only missed 31 in the, you know, the Cavs-Pacers game or whatever?
Nope, they just went after Rockets-Warriors. And that's the other thing, too. The Jack Del Rio point in this with the Rockets is, to me, officiating is like a strike zone in baseball. Oh, well, ump's got a tight strike zone tonight, so I might take more pitches. He's got a big strike zone. I should be hacking. Like, you have to adapt to officiating in every single game.
Yeah.
It's not going to be the exact – it's not an exact science. And the Rockets look bad. You want to talk about, yeah, how in their heads are they? It's not renting space, man.
Oh, man.
They've got their feet up.
It's like oceanfront property
straight
at
up.
This point.
Yeah, it's Rick James going to Eddie Murphy's house.
All on the couch.
All on the couch. Straight up.
I wish we could use that line. That is such a great line. But
we can't.
F your couch.
Exactly.
We'll leave it at that. And to be, hey, James Harden, man, he just wants a fair chance.
Man. I just want a fair chance, man. Yes. Call the game how it's supposed to be called, and that's it. And I'll live with the results. But especially we all know what happened, you know, a few years back with Kawhi. Like, that can change an entire series. Just call the game how it's supposed to be called, and we'll live with the results. And it's plain and simple.
Okay. That's what he wants. He just wants
James,
a fair chance.
Feel for James.
So we, because James Harden was not the beneficiary of
he just
of
can't
any
get
foul
a fair
calls.
Shake, dude. Never oh. got, never had, yeah, never benefited from a single foul call. That's so lame. And I think bringing up the Kawhi stuff is pretty whack, too.
Well, no, I don't
there
think
was,
I don't,
there was one. I will say there was one play that was dangerous.
But he's using the, I think that was his way, or I don't think, like I'm pretty confident we all believe that was his way of using the landing area line without using the, but you don't want to call it the landing area. Mm-hmm. There's nothing personal to that.
No.
But if, remember what happened to poor Kawhi?
Kawhi?
Remember when the San Antonio Spurs were up 20 points
and
on the Golden
took
State
a bat
Warriors?
To his ankle? Whew.
Went full Tanya
Galooly.
Harding right there on his
Jeff
on
Galooly.
Is that a real person or did you just make that name
he's
up?
He's real, right? He's part of it, Chris.
Jeff Galooly.
Was he the bodyguard?
Yeah, I think so.
Or, no, he was the hitman?
He was the bodyguard that they used to do the dirt.
Wait, Tanya Harding had a hitman too?
Yeah.
It's like technically, like if someone paid me to play basketball right now, I could say I'm a pro basketball player. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
Like it was just a guy that they paid to do something.
What's great is I, Tanya.
But it was a guy.
to
wait
just
a minute.
Show how stupid all of them were.
Wait a minute. Was it? It was a guy they paid to kill her, or a
no,
guy they paid to hit her with a bat?
Out. Yeah. And I think it was Galooly.
I think that's more of a goon than a hitman.
Yes. Well said.
I feel like a hitman involves death.
That's a good point. I like
because then they really fail.
Yeah, then he's not a good hitman at all.
Galooly was the ex-husband to Tanya Harding.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to say this now. We've spent way too much time on this.
But hey, great name.
But we are thorough.
Yes.
We are thorough.
For sure.
This is so stupid.
No, we just crushed it.
I've got the you know, the Tanya Harding discussion, the Jeff Galooly discussion was actually better than looking at this ESPN article and the Athletic article. Because not the way that they're written. These are all brilliant reporters.
Fantastic
but what I'm
stuff.
Looking at is look at what we're talking about right here. Mark Cuban tweeted yesterday, 2-minute report is going to be very interesting tomorrow. We'll tell you so much about the management of the NBA officiating group. Daryl Morey, in his head, been working on things since 2006. Now, for those who aren't familiar, the Rockets have had their own Game 6 situation in the NBA before, which is why I've never believed Tim Donaghy, by the way.
Yeah.
It's why I've always thought Tim Donaghy was full of crap.
Oh, yes.
Because he picked the two most notable shams in the history of the NBA to say, oh, yeah, that was me, baby. Now, I know the Houston Rockets fan base, the Sacramento Kings fan base, they're looking for answers. They're out for blood. And if they want to put that on Tim Donaghy, that's fine. That was just whether you think it was cheated or whatever. I don't. Poorly officiated, for sure.
Yeah.
But when you're out there going, oh, yeah, I've cheated the league a ton of times. Really? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Remember 2006 with the
most famous one?
Remember that? Remember Game 6? Remember the Kings?
It's your boy.
Huh?
Your boy.
That was me.
Good old TD.
But he can't tell you game 31 in the middle of the regular season that he won a couple of $1,000s off. But he can tell you those two games because he knows everybody's going to know him. But Daryl Morey referenced that last night. Think about that for a second. The Rockets looked at what happened to them in game 7 last year as the equivalent of what was the second biggest officiating sham in the history of the NBA.
The refs made him miss 27 straight threes. I remember that.
These guys.
They were D'ing them up something vicious.
They
It's the worst. It's the absolute worst. Cuban needs to chill because I don't.
I don't think Cuban did anything wrong right there.
Well, when do the Mavs play though?
I don't think the schedule's out.
Yeah, so he doesn't need to worry about that.
Well, I mean, he's still an NBA owner.
Yeah, I know, but still, tweeting. Just the Texas owners. Well, I guess San Antonio's pretty but Maury and Cuban are a little too much for me, man. And
Maury's a lot to deal with.
A lot. And he's great at his job. But Kendrick Perkins had the perfect tweet last night. He said, everyone's so worried about getting foul calls, they forgot to try and win the game.
I was checking to see if Magic Johnson tweeted about officiating last night. He did not. He did say, I can't wait to see superstars Kyrie Irving and Giannis Antetokounmpo try to lead their teams to victory tomorrow.
Can I do a Magic tweet?
You can do a Magic tweet.
The officiating in game one. The refs got some right and some wrong. Excited for game two.
Thanks, Magic.
Yep.
That's solid stuff right there. It's time to get your tickets for BrickFest Live.
Is that this weekend. Russell Westbrook festival?
You can show yourself out. The door's right there.
There it is. Had to make sure I got a shot at Magic Johnson and Russell Westbrook on the way out. Going to take one last break, come back. I want to talk about the scores from last night's games, talk about who's moving on, who's got the upper hand in the series, and one last thing on this whole officiating fiasco. That's coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. What's good? I think my favorite thing about this whole situation, the whole ridiculousness of the Rockets and their auditing playoff games and just all the bull that's come out of it, is the resounding response from just about every analyst, everyone nationally, is get the out of here. Like, this is pathetic. Even with all the Warriors hate out there, which I understand, look, greatness, you know, breeds haters. I hate the Patriots. You know, it happens. But even with all the Warriors hate out there, this is too much. This nerdy, friggin' Daryl Morey auditing playoff games is way too much. I love that. We'll see how the refs respond. And I don't know if they'll respond positively or how the Rockets went. Like, the Rockets just called out the entire referee, the entire league, basically. They called out every single ref. So I don't know if they're going to respond the way they want. We'll have to wait and see. Moving on to last night's action real quick. The 76ers were able to tie up their series with the Raptors, getting the 94-89 win. Jimmy Butler had 30 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists. Kawhi went for 35, 7, and 6. Even with the win, I still don't trust the Sixers. Still kind of leaning Raptors. It's still 1-1 before they head back to Philly. But we'll see. I mean, they were able to win in a game where Joel Embiid did not play particularly well. He had 12 points on 2 of 7 shooting and was sick, apparently. He said he had the s*** after the game and said if you've ever had the s*** you know how it feels. So we'll see how it goes moving forward, but I still don't completely trust them. And then tonight in game one of the Blazers-Nuggets series, it was a fun game. High octane, a lot of scoring, but the Nuggets were able to bring that one home, 121-113. Jokic was great, and not a ton of defense played in this one. We got to see Jokic take advantage of Enes Kanter, which the... what's it called? The Thunder were not able to do. Jokic had 37, 9, and 6. And 3 steals and 2 blocks. Jokic was everywhere, man. So, that's another interesting one. I just don't know how they're going to have an answer for Jokic. We'll see. Have to keep watching. Watch the Dubs tonight and come back for another episode tomorrow of Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network.
You can't climb a mountain if it's smooth, right? You got to go over the rough spots. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.